enchanté.
Hey everybody, this is the Two Tight Ends podcast. My name is Neil, that over there is Connor.
What's going on?
And we're coming at you with a brand new podcast in case you didn't have enough. We're just bored and we love talking about sports and other things, so we decided, hey, why not? Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, why not record it, put it on the internet where it can live forever?
You know, our future jobs can see it, all that.
And the fact that we named it Two Tight Ends, I'm sure future employers are going to love that, going straight on the resume.
Mom, if you're listening, don't. Stop. Now.
Bow out now.
Please get out. Fail. But yeah, man, let's just get into it. So, man, the NBA is finally back.
Praise the Lord that something's back. Anything's back. I just wanted anything to be back. But the fact that the NBA is back makes it that much better.
It's just a sigh of relief,
I mean,
isn't it?
The fact, too, that, like, they're just doing it right, which, I mean, basketball is the only sport they could do this with the whole NBA bubble situation, but, man, they are doing it right.
Yeah, like, it's unfortunate that nobody else can do it because it just seems perfect, you know? You contain everybody. They just walk around in the bubble. They have a few activities, and then you just keep everybody safe. And
go to a strip club every once in a while. Like, who cares, right? Shout out,
hey,
Lou.
He was getting the chicken wings, okay?
Yeah, I heard that's what he was good. Getting. I'm sure that's what he was getting.
You never know. But yeah, man, like, how were the first few games for you? Anything stand out?
I loved them. I loved the first few games, everything about them. I mean, there was a few standout performances, but just in the first two games, I guess, on the first day, we had, you know, Jazz Pelicans and we had Lakers Clippers, battle of the LA teams, which I thought was really cool, which was an amazing game. Here's the first thing I want to touch on. First thing I want to touch on is the fact that anyone who thinks that basketball is just a game where guys run back and forth on a court and just make baskets and whoever has the lead just wins. That's so much. There's so much more like strategy and technique that goes into basketball that people don't realize. Cause I know, like, for example, my wife, that's what she thought. And then once I explained stuff to her, she could appreciate it more. But man, like, the Lakers Clippers games was such a back and forth the whole time. I was on the edge of my seat. I mean, at one point I was like, oh, Lakers have got it. Then at one point they're down by 11. I'm like, oh, the Clippers have got this. Like, it's nuts.
It's awesome. And you know what I've done? I've caught myself multiple times. And it's like the first 5 minutes of the game. What was it? The last night's game was the Raptors and Lakers.
Yes.
It's like first couple of minutes, Raptors are up like 17-2 or something. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, Raptors are the best team. Holy shit. Like, what? This is crazy. But I'm like, dude, it's 5 minutes in the game. Obviously, the Lakers came back and made it a great game, but it's like I've caught myself multiple times doing that to each game. Like, wow, dude, the Pelicans are so good. Well, actually.
No, totally. I mean, when a team is up by 20 points or something crazy, like, I mean, anyone's gut instinct is to go, game's over. Time to turn it off. But it's insane that basketball can just – anything can change a game around. Anything. Doesn't matter what sport. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything can turn a game around.
And you know what turns a game around a lot is conspiracy theories.
I don't know about that. But it does make it more interesting.
But speaking of...
Which one this time?
Dwight Howard. Well, let's say Dwight Howard saying, you know, oh, I don't believe in vaccines, you know. So, and then I think the craziest thing was when Michael Porter Jr. is saying the virus is out there to control the masses. And it's just interesting to see these people. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess they have they're entitled to their own opinion. But, man, he literally said he's been watching a ton of YouTube conspiracy theories, and that's when I checked.
Yikes.
It's over. It's over for me, man.
If anyone tries to make a point with, I've been watching a lot of YouTube conspiracy lately, immediately they're discredited. Immediately.
Right.
I mean,
I just,
my favorite part about the Michael Porter Jr. headline too was that it didn't even say like Michael Porter Jr. says this. It says NBA executives are talking to Michael Porter Jr. about his comments because they're going, "Hey man, shut up.
Like, hey, keep just, that just, shit just, to just, yourself.
Just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth."
Oh dear. Yeah, man. That was pretty interesting. I thought.
But real quick, I got to talk about some standout players, I think, in the first couple games, because kind of some unexpected players, like with the Jazz Pelicans. Jazz won 106-104 in the final, mm-hmm. a crazy ending to that game. But the mm-hmm. the person who stand
Gobert
out, the,
hit two free throws, clinch it. Right?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, a big man. Yeah. You didn't see that back in the day, Shaq. But yeah, seeing a big man hit two clutch free throws, that was amazing. But we had Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench, which I've always been a Jordan Clarkson fan. I think he's a great, mm-hmm. great rotation player and a role player, whatever you want to call him. But mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson coming in with 23 points off the bench, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, and he played
solid.
Just as many minutes as, I mean, he's obviously the sixth man on the team. He's played just as many minutes as like all the starters. But that was behind Donovan Mitchell with 20 points and Mike Conley with 20 points. I mean, they just had a mm-hmm. great showing that game, mm-hmm. especially against a seemingly dominant Pelicans with Brandon Ingram having 23 points.
And he went off.
I mean, he was electric. Honestly,
he looked so smooth out there.
He did. I mean, he finally looked like the young Kevin Durant everyone was like comparing him to. But he even had JJ Redick coming off the bench, old man JJ with 21 points.
JJ, get invited to the barbecue, JJ. yeah, man, I agree. I think you know what's crazy about Jordan Clarkson is so as you know, I'm a Wizards fan, Washington Wizards baby, and they traded that Jordan Clarkson to the Lakers on draft night for cash considerations.
Yikes.
I'm like, oh, dude. And then he played well in the Lakers. You
Isn't
know,
that just classic well DC goes. Sports, he's though?
Classic, dude. They just gave him up for cash. He would have been so good off the bench for them, but no.
I mean, that's probably just classic Wizards, too, not just DC Sports. That's classic Wizards.
Yeah, they can't do it. Yeah, I mean, you know what's crazy for me watching the games is to think about that. Like, I was watching the Rockets, and Russell Westbrook, this is still his first year as a Rocket. I mean, it just seems...
that's crazy.
It's so long. It happened so long ago when he got traded. It feels like he's been there for a long time.
All right, let's get into this a little bit then with, like, players you just kind of forget that they're where they are.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember that CP3 is on the Thunder? No. I constantly forget that he's a Thunder now. Like, I was watching the game the other night and I was like, oh yeah, Chris Paul's out there. That's who the Thunder have now. Because for a while I was like, the Thunder don't have anyone except for Steven Adams. And then I was like, oh, but except for they have an all-star point guard with Chris Paul.
They look good the other night. They look
really, they did look good, man.
Who did it play? They the Jazz. Yeah, they dominated the Jazz.
Oh, they dominated. And which I was really surprised there too, because I actually did get a chance to watch that game, and the Jazz just looked sloppy. Like, coming off that win on the Pelicans where they just played so well and came back and everything, they played against the Thunder and just shit the bed.
Yeah.
Completely. It was bad. No defense. They looked lost, honestly. Like, they weren't passing the ball like you expect from the Jazz. Like, to me, I felt like the Jazz had started kind of adopting like the Warriors method in a way, where it's like pass the ball until the guy like the right guy has the right shot. Like, mm-hmm. we're not here to be a hero. We're here to make plays. But Jordan mm-hmm. Clarkson was trying to be the hero again, because mm-hmm. he had a great game against the Pelicans, and then he's just taking pot shots from three all night and they were missing everything.
They weren't shooting the ball well. Their defense seemed like it wasn't there. Like, and to be honest though, to be fair, against the Pelicans, the Jazz defense, they were letting pretty much anything happen. Too, it's like their defense is slipping. Like, obviously in years past they have some of the best defense in the league, but man, this right now they just do not look great on defense at all.
It's true. And with last year's defensive player of the year sitting at center,
mm-hmm.
it's a little odd.
It is pretty weird. But you know what, going back to you know, new faces and new places, you trips me out every time. The Morris twins are in LA. One's on the clip. Marcus is on the Clippers.
Yo,
and
Markeith,
which I totally forgot. Chief Keefe is on the Lakers. And man, that tripped me out too. Because yeah, that happened, I think, right before the deadline, and it was a weird one. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple more too that, like, I know this still happened a while ago, but I still forget it. Maybe I'm the only one, but Jimmy Butler on the Heat, I forget he's a Heat all the time.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's a Heat. Or, like, DeMar DeRozan on the Spurs.
That's a weird one.
He's just like, I just feel like he's not talked about anymore now that he's on the Spurs, because there's such a, like, cohesive team compared to the Raptors, where the Raptors kind of had those standout players.
Well, and they're, like, almost never in the spotlight either.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's DeMar DeRozan being a Spur is still a weird one for me. But, I mean,
it's also weird that he doesn't really fit their system at all. I mean, they make it work, but, yeah, he doesn't really, like, it's not. He wasn't. He never struck me as a Spurs player, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He just doesn't fit like the pop system.
Yeah, but hey, they make it work.
I mean, he's just a good player all around. He's gonna fit pretty much wherever he goes for the most part. But I mean, you still gotta find that. Unless you go to the Celtics and Bryan Adams is coaching you, like, you have to find the right set. He can make any player work, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got the magic touch over there, but.
You know what? What is looking really good, though, is Jokic coming back looking slim.
Ooh. Dude. Looking like GQ.
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, he's basically got the Kevin Love glow up going on right now.
He looks great. And the best thing is that it actually shows up on the court, where he's seemingly, you know, a lot more willing to run up and down the court. You know, has a little more energy, has a little more pep in his step. I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, and now he's got 7-2 Bobo to, like, play around with. I mean,
insane. You saw the scrimmage lineup, right?
Yeah. I mean, these guys look, the Nuggets look like a team that shouldn't do well that does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got Jokic, these big guys making crazy, yeah, like big guys making crazy passes, crazy plays. Crazy
Your tallest layups. Player, like, Bol Bol, isn't even the center.
Exactly. And he's hitting shots from outside. Like, what is this?
Did you see the dime he had last night?
I didn't.
Oh, man. He threaded the needle in this fast break, and it's just, oh, perfect.
So clean. Oh. So clean.
Yeah, it was nice.
I love just a good bounce pass. Nothing gets me harder than a rock.
Oh, my God.
A good bounce pass.
Connor over here is, you know, 70s coach with a mustache. his shorts all hiked up. Jeez, nothing gets me harder than a bounce pass.
Than a solid bounce pass.
Yeah. To the chest, boys.
Hit the fundamentals.
All right, hit the showers. oh, my gosh. But, yeah, let's talk about... you know, the NBA standings, you know, predictions for playoffs. Let's get into it, man. Let's start in the East. Okay. First, I want to talk about, do the Wizards have a chance at the playoffs? I mean, they're no, but they are the ninth seed. Let me look at this. They are 6 games back of the Nets right now. And to get to the play-in tournament, which we will talk about that in a second, to get to the play-in tournament, they have to be within 4 games of the ninth seed. And the Nets look terrible right now.
I mean, you're not wrong there.
Yeah.
But
so do the Wizards, right, to be honest.
I was going to say, because who's healthy on the Wizards?
Dude, that's the other thing.
It's the biggest question.
So I mean, I haven't been watching. I'm a Wizards fan. I've been watching the Wizards this year, unfortunately, even before quarantine. Like, I had to move this year. Like, you know, I had stuff going on. I wasn't really watching.
Also, I'm ashamed. Like, whatever.
I wasn't watching as much as I wanted to. But so I turn on the first quarantine scrimmage, or the restart scrimmage, and I'm just looking at all these people getting in big minutes. I'm like, who the hell are these players? Jerome Robinson? Like, I don't even... Ah, dude. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Neil, welcome to the bench. This is the bench that's in Washington. You haven't heard of these players because they never get playing time and they're terrible.
The other thing is they're starting now. That's the problem.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that's rough. I think it's possible. I think the Wizards are slightly better than the Nets. Slightly. I mean, maybe it's just the hometown. I don't know. So I think they'll get... The problem is, I I don't think they're going to overtake the Nets at eighth. I think they'll get within the parameters for the play-in tournament and then be able to play in the play-in tournament versus the Nets. Which, let's go ahead and talk about the play-in tournament, which I think is really interesting.
Let's.
So the ninth seed has to be within four games or fewer of the eighth seed. And if that happens at the end of the eight games, then they're going to play a best of two series, which sounds weird, but it's pretty much the ninth seed has to win two head-to-head games to take over the eighth spot, which is, I think, I like it.
I do too.
I think that's actually pretty cool. It's like it's going to be so hard. It's stacked against the ninth seed, but there's still that chance to get them in there.
Right. No, I like it a lot. I mean, I think it's cool to give more teams an opportunity to get into the play, kind of earn that spot in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But here's the other question, because I can't remember all the changes with that. The games are still all best of seven, though, right?
The regular playoff games, yes.
Okay, yeah, outside of the play-in tournament. Okay.
Correct.
This is the only problem I have with NBA playoffs. They last forever. They're so long. Just go back to like best of five or whatever it was back in the 90s with like the first round of playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So much better. Like I honestly feel like they should just do it where it's like a best of three, a best of five, and then a best of seven once it comes to like the quarterfinals or whatever.
See, now I think I love a game seven. You know, I think the first round should go back. They used to do this. Should go back to five games. It should go back to five to make the first round a little quicker. But I think the rest of them, I think the rest of them should be seven games.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. That's that first round that makes it feel so long. But dude, I just don't get me wrong. I love basketball. I always want to have more basketball to an extent, but when it comes to playoffs, it's like, okay, I'm not even watching like all the teams playing against each other. We're just watching these playoff contenders, and it lasts for 3 months. It's too long.
It can be quite long. The interesting thing, which I don't know how it'll work this year, but you know, they have to take off 1 to 3 days in between games sometimes if they're traveling, you know. But this year, I mean, probably take off one day between games.
Yeah, just a rest day.
Yeah, just so that you know, they don't have to travel. Everybody's in the bubble, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. It might actually go by quicker.
It might. Well, let's see. The dates, I have them pulled up. The first round begins August 17th, and then the conference, let's see, the NBA Finals begin September 30th, so not really. Like, cut it a little bit down.
But not really.
But it's okay.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah, because the next round starts the 31st.
You know, and that could be just because players have gotten used to that, like, that flow, essentially, of like, oh, I'm getting like 2 days rest.
And they still have to they still have to fit all those. I think they only have three courts available, so they still have to fit all those games in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let's talk about the top seeds in the East. Like, okay, who do you think is a dark horse, and then who do you think is actually going to make it into the finals for the East?
That's a great question. I think dark horse, if we're actually talking dark horses, I think the Pacers actually look kind of good right now. And I'm not just talking TJ Warren had that 50-plus game. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying the Pacers look pretty good right now.
Yeah. And they're always solid. They always have a solid defense. It's really the offense. I mean, Sabonis is out for them. He was critical for them, but Oladipo actually came to the bubble. I mean,
he's not playing though, right?
No, he's playing.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So I mean, Oladipo back in there, and you've got TJ Warren with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Like, I mean, that could be all the drive they need on offense.
I mean, honestly, the East, like 3 through 7. Like, that's kind of a toss-up right now on maybe 4 through 7. I don't know. Like, the 76ers don't look fantastic right now. I think they have to get their offense going. Yeah.
Just surprised about it. I thought the 76ers were always pretty solid, and then I just feel like they fell off a little bit.
I think with all the new additions this year, they're struggling to find their offense.
You know? Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they don't. Yeah, it's interesting. But, okay, so dark horse, maybe the Pacers, and then who do you think is actually going to make it to the finals?
I mean, I'm hoping.
Or but... let's do this. Who's going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and then the finals out of that? Yeah, let's do that.
Sorry. Repeat that real quick.
Oh, okay. We're recording on Discord, people, so bear with us. Yeah, so give me the who do you think is going to make it to the Eastern Conference Final and then who's going to win that and go to the finals.
Okay, I see. So Eastern Conference Finals, I'm going to say Bucks, Celtics. I'm going to say the Raptors don't make it.
Bucks, Celtics. Interesting. Okay.
And then I want the Bucks to win, honestly.
Okay.
I think that would be amazing. I'm a huge...
It's hard to pick against them Giannis right now. Fan.
It is. I mean, it's hard to pick against them. I'm a huge Giannis fan. I like the Lopez brothers being on the same team right now. I think that's the coolest thing.
The wrestling.
Exactly. And the rest of the team just looks good, too.
Yeah. All right. So I'll give you my picks. Dark Horse, which is crazy to say, but Dark Horse for me is the Raptors. But it's crazy because they are the second seed.
Right. But they do feel like a dark horse. That's the crazy part. But
nobody talks about them. I think they have it. I mean, I think they match up well with the Celtics, the Heat. I think they match up well. Like the only, I think they could do it. I think they could go. So me personally, I think the Raptors and the Bucks will meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. But yeah, Bucks got it in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think the Bucks got it. I guess a little throw in, you know, going against my own rules that I set. I think the Miami Heat might be a little dark horse too.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. I mean, no one's really talking about them, but like
they have a good. I mean, they're all bought into the system. They have great shooters around Jimmy Butler. I think they have a lot to go for them.
Yeah, but I agree.
I don't know if they have enough firepower. Well, I guess we'll see that.
And something that's a little underrated too is I feel like they have good team chemistry right now. And that's something that Butler has always struggled with in a way, is I feel like he never found that good team chemistry with anyone. And then finally found that in Miami.
Yeah, he's always, you know, the tough guy, holding everybody accountable, make sure everybody's like doing their part. But that's what I mean. I think he kind of found that culture in Miami. Everybody's bought into it. So
exactly, and he's never one to pull punches either when it comes to like calling people out in the media or even calling the team out in the media. Like not the team, like the players, but like coaches and executives and front office, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So that was the easy part. Now we're moving over to the West. Which is a clusterfuck. let's see. Spots number 3 through 7 are within 4 games of each other.
Yep.
And then there's 13 teams total there, you know. Man, it's a lot.
It's tight. I mean, the West is always like this, though. That's the insane thing.
Every year,
Even with LeBron moving over to the West, the West
just
is
got
always,
more clogged.
Yeah, like the West is always like this for whatever reason. The East is always pretty clear cut for some reason, but the West just, it's always tight.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so let's talk about the 8th and 9th seeds for a second. Right now, we have Memphis in the 8th seed, and then Portland at the 9th seed, and they're 21 or they're sorry they're
two and a half
games back.
Yep. But so they're within that play-in tournament rule.
Yeah, but the Spurs are, you know, biting at their heels. Kings are right there. Pelicans are right there. Suns are right there.
9 through 12 are all within a half game of each other. Like the next one's a half game behind, the next one's a half game behind. They're all right there. Then the Phoenix is only a game behind the Pelicans at number 13. So
that's going to be so interesting. Because right now they're pretty much playing for who can get the 9th seed, who can get that play-in tournament. Just to get a little chance. But I don't know, man. The Spurs, they don't have LaMarcus Aldridge. The Kings, man, they're a little disappointing this season because last season they almost made it to the playoffs, but they fell off just a little bit.
Aren't the Kings always a little disappointing?
Well, last year they were like, what, 2 games away from the playoffs? I mean, it was close.
Yeah, but they also had DeMarcus Cousins on their team for how many years and never did anything with them?
Squandered it. That's true, yeah. Pelicans, they look terrible right now. They've lost 2 games. And then the Suns, they won. It was against the Wizards, but they won. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Who do you think is gonna get into the play-in tournament out of those teams?
In the play-in tournament? Okay, into the play-in tournament, I think the Blazers are gonna stay there, or they're gonna like switch places with the Grizzlies possibly.
And then it's just gonna be Grizzlies, but it's gonna be Grizzlies Blazers. You think?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I always root for the Blazers every year slightly, just because I love Dame, love CJ McCollum. Like, I love their team, and they have like. Yeah. They arguably have one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Maybe the numbers don't always show it, but like they do.
Especially on the offensive side, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I love watching Dame. I like their team, and they got Nurkic back. You know, through the quarantine he was able to nurse his injury and come back. And I think that's huge for them.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And that game against was it the Grizzlies, right? The first game they had,
I believe so.
Yeah, the overtime game. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that game against Grizzlies was a great game. It went to overtime. Yeah, I think you're right. Besides maybe the Spurs sneaking in there somehow, I think you're right. I think it's gonna be Grizzlies and Blazers. I love watching Ja too. He's so fun to watch.
Oh, he's electric, man.
Electric.
I love watching Ja.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I love watching Ja, but. I agree with this comment I saw on Instagram that someone said was, or maybe it was like a tweet I saw, something that was, someone has got to tell him to stop landing on one foot when he comes down from these huge dunks, because all he needs to see is what happened to Derrick Rose, and then maybe he'll learn. But he's worrying me, because every time he lands, I just like cringe a little bit, because I'm waiting for the day where he collapses.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Grizzlies, I like their team too. Like they have some of my solids. Jaren Jackson Jr., he's great on defense. He hits threes. I think he hit five the other night. Like, man, he's nice. And then they got some good role players.
For sure look like a solid team, which I don't think I ever thought I'd say about the Grizzlies in my lifetime, but they look like a solid team right now.
Okay, let's talk about 1 through 7 now. So give me who you think is going to make it to the conference finals, and then who do you think will win that, but also give me a dark horse.
Okay. Who's gonna make it to the conference finals?
Well, let's start with the dark horse.
Okay. Dark horse. I'm gonna say.
Which let me say something real quick. The dark horse in the West is kind of funny because they're all so close together too. So it's like, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like it's hard to say there's like a dark horse where it's gonna like, oh man, this is such the underdog team that's just gonna come out of nowhere. I mean, because first instinct I want to say is like the Rockets, because you look at the Rockets sitting at number 6, you're like, they could definitely pull something out with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and make it. But are they really a dark horse because they have such a lethal team? I mean, not really. So I'm going to say the Nuggets or the Jazz are kind of a dark horse, just because you have them at the 3 and 4. They look solid, but no one's really talking about them. You know what I mean?
Everyone's talking about those LA teams. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and I mean, We can all admit that LeBron is the best player in the league, because I mean, he is now on the Lakers, who were, what did they place last year, like 9th or 12th or something like that, and now they're number 1 because he came in. Like Anthony Davis. So like, I can't forget AD, but yes. Like because of those additions, I mean, they look so good. It's crazy.
Yeah, and for the folks at home, that was really hard for Connor to say. He hates LeBron.
I've actually come to respect LeBron a lot more, but man,
okay,
it's taken me years to respect him. It's taken me a while.
Right on. All right. Okay, so that was your dark horse, and then who do you think will make it to the conference finals and then the finals?
I mean, to the conference finals. You want to say LA's, the LA's, because of who they've got on their team. But I want to say it's actually going to be, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say it's going to be Lakers Nuggets, but Lakers are going to take it.
Okay. I like it. Maybe Clippers have an injury or something. You don't hope for it, but maybe,
yeah, but maybe. But I think it could be Lakers Nuggets, and Nuggets are going to put up a good fight. So I'm going to say it's Lakers Nuggets in the conference finals, and it's going to be Lakers in 6.
Okay. Solid. I think
your dark horse.
My dark horse, I think I have to pick Oklahoma City, just because I feel like they're really solid. They got healthy, and it's like without any fans on the floor. And my friend actually pointed this out to me. Without any fans on the floor, Chris Paul is able to communicate even better with his team. Like, he's that floor leader. He's going to be able to just make sure everybody can hear him. You know, maestro the offense, and just, yeah, I think they're really solid. They got a lot of depth, and I think they're going to be pesky. They're going to be a hard out for any team. So that's my dark horse.
Okay.
And then I think you have to go LA teams. I'll do it. I'll go with it.
You put them in there.
The disappointing thing about that is you were hoping for that normally before quarantine, before the bubble. Just because they look like the best teams, but also, man, the home and away games, that whole dynamic in playing in the same stadium would have been so weird and like cool to watch.
Yeah, true.
Because you don't know. True. You don't know who's going to show out for every game, even whether it's a home or away game for either one.
And I mean, do they switch clubhouses or whatever they call it in the NBA? Do they switch clubhouses?
The locker rooms, yeah.
Yeah, the locker rooms. Do they switch when one's the home and one's the visitor? Like, how does that work?
But yeah, so we missed out on that. But I think it's still two best teams right there, and they're going to clash, and it's going to be great. But the one thing about the Clippers is they're not even at full strength yet. Like, PG's looking amazing. The rest of the team looks good. Kawhi looks good, but he's not shooting like he usually does. He'll get there. But Lou Williams not with the team because of that strip club, baby.
Chicken wings. Chicken wings. This. Sorry. It was chicken wings.
And then Montrezl Harrell, I think, didn't he like test positive for COVID or something? So he's not even there yet. He's the other sixth man, you know. They're not even at full strength yet, which is a little scary.
It's true. And I wonder, too, if they're just kind of playing the hot hand right now. Are you saying, like, PG's looking good, but Kawhi's not shooting as much as he usually does? I mean, it could just be because they're feeding PG and Kawhi so good on both ends of the floor that they're saying, hey, focus on defense a little bit more, but still take your shots when you get them, you know?
Like, I think the quarantine was great for PG. He looks – his shoulders look great.
Yeah.
Like, that was his really good stuff. But I think I'm going to have to pick the Lakers, though. I can't pick against LeBron. I'm a little bit of a fanboy, not gonna lie.
I mean, it's the LeBron diff. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
there's always the LeBron diff.
Yep. So yeah, those are predictions for that. One more little thing to talk about, sort of in basketball news, I want to touch on, is that so the top prospect in the 2020 ESPN 100 coming out of high school. His name's Jalen Green. He decided to enter the NBA G League, what they're calling the Pathway Program. So he's skipping college. He's not going to go to college, which I personally think is what's going to happen. I think in 5-10 years, most of the top, if not all the prospects, are going to skip college. What is the advantage to college? Let me put it out what the advantage of the G League is, okay? You're already in the NBA system. You're getting NBA coaching. You're getting paid, which is a huge thing. And you're not getting have to deal with the stupid NCAA making money off you and not giving you shit for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The only thing I will say, which it just has to come out in two words of why there is an advantage to college, Ja Morant. One of the top rookies this year.
That's true.
And no one talked about him until the tournament.
That is a fair point.
He wasn't on anyone's radar until he balled out with Murray State. So now, granted, I see where your point is, and I agree with you to an extent, because why not? If you're coming out of high school as one of the top prospects, and hey, you can either go play for free here and quote unquote be paid in education. Whatever that means, we know you're lying, NCAA. You're not getting paid in an education. Or you can go make money. You're already on essentially it's like minor league baseball. That's essentially what it is. You know, you're already on a team's roster and you can move up in that sense. I think the only difference is that in like minor league baseball, you are on that team's roster, so you move up and down within that system, and then you get traded. But I think, if now correct me if I'm wrong, G League is pretty much like you go play for a team, but then any team can sign you, right?
No.
Oh, it doesn't work that way.
So I'm actually intrigued. I should probably read up on it a little more on the pathway program, how that works. Uh-huh. But no, so you get signed to a team, but then there's a bunch of different contracts where the good thing is that you get like good film on you, and then say the one team cuts you, and then you can go to another team. But the thing is, it's like say the Oklahoma City's G League team, like say they need a player or they're looking and they've been watching this player in their G League, and then they have exclusive rights to go get him and be like, hey, actually, let's try you. What a two-way contract. And then they can play him in the NBA a few games, play him in G League a few games, like stuff like that.
Okay, because I thought I read something recently that was also throwing out the possibility of like you get signed to like a G League team, but then once mm-hmm. your contract is up or something like that, I mean not contract, but when like your tenure kind of ends, then any team can sign you even mm-hmm. even though you were associated with that team, which is
I think that might be true. And also maybe there's just a contract where it's like a lot, you know, really light. It's not really like you're not really super, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, super under the thumb of that team.
Like committed to that team.
Right. Maybe there is. But I just know most of the top contracts, meaning like maybe the two-way contracts, stuff like that. Yeah, you're kind of committed to that team.
Okay. Well, let's do more research on that. But I agree with you. I think it's a great path for a lot of these top mm-hmm. prospects. But
yeah, and that's what I was going to mention. Maybe it's mostly for the top prospects, like you were saying. Maybe the Jaws are still gonna be able to do that through college.
Yeah, but I think, you know, something else to point out is right now, well, you know, NFL just put out their top 100 list. Everyone loves seeing that come out. Mm-hmm. And I think I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like almost all the players that are in the top 10 right now were three-star recruits coming out of high school.
Yeah, I saw that. The top five like, players in the NFL top 100 were three-star recruits, yep.
Yeah, yeah, it was like Lamar, Pat, Russell Wilson, like all those guys who mm-hmm. you just couldn't believe weren't like top prospects.
Yeah.
I mean, you got guys like that who going to college, that is it's going to give them the exposure that they need.
For sure. And I wonder, maybe a lesser, you know, tiered, not a lesser tier, not as big of a prospect. I'm sure they could skip college and like go try to work out for a G League team, try to get a spot that way. But I'm talking about the pathway program. I wonder if there's any way to try to get into it without being like a number one recruit. You know what I mean?
You know, I bet the more that this gets built out, the more they're going to like essentially find a way to bring those kids in, you know, because we're talking like a program that's kind of in its infancy right now.
It is in its infancy, yeah.
And so because of that, like they're gonna find a way to make those kinds of things happen, to grab those guys who may not look like a top prospect right now but are gonna mm-hmm. show out nonetheless. So they'll figure it out, but as of right now, I think, yeah, college is definitely still gonna be the way for a lot of these guys who have a lot of promise but maybe aren't considered a five-star recruit or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, for like you said, for a guy who's the number one prospect coming out of high school, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I love it. I'm excited. And like the trend has already kind of started. Like LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton went over to Australia this year to play, mm-hmm. To skip college. So I think that's kind of what the trend is going to be going forward.
And LaMelo Ball actually looks really good. I never thought I would say that about a Ball brother. No offense to the Ball family, but I mean, he looks really good for those, think, like, what was it, 2 years he was in Lithuania or whatever, however long it was.
I think it was like a season of Lithuania. Now he was just in Australia. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So I mean, but even still, when you're playing at a high level like that, it gives you that experience and those reps, basically, that you need to look good.
And you're getting paid for it, which is always nice.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could get paid to play any sport.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think he's projected to be a top three pick right now. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Think
his dad's gonna fight for him to go to the Lakers again?
Maybe.
For the next Ball brother to go to the Lakers and then get traded to somewhere else.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about the MLB season.
Oof. Or lack thereof.
Yeah. I mean, with the COVID, Miami's getting COVID. The Yankees staff got COVID, didn't they? Like,
So from what I know, Miami was the first perpetrator. They had like 18 total tests come back positive, something like that. And then the Yankees might have, I don't remember seeing that exactly, but the next one was my beloved Cardinals. So sad to see that they were the next perpetrators because, they had a few tests come back positive and then some that came back inconclusive. And then I actually just got an update as we were sitting here from ESPN that said the...
Wait, is this breaking news? We breaking
this,
it?
Yeah, this breaking news, I guess. That
Woj bomb?
Well, it was a Woj, but... But it said that it had multiple new positive tests and they're expected to come out tonight, I guess, with who tested positive. I don't know. I know they don't really give.
Oh, it's just something from the MLB.
What's that?
I was just saying it's something. Did that come from a source from the MLB?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it says it on ESPN, Bleacher Report. Oh. Like everyone's reporting on it now that Cardinals have even more cases. The Marlins had like 18 total by the end of it. Yeah. Cardinals came out with like 3, then came out with like another 2, and now it's saying that there's even more that should be coming out. So like who knows at this point, but thing is it's sad to see because like the players all just wanted to play. Robert Manfred kept holding off, finally came out with the like protocol and they all agreed to it. They're all ready to play. And then this happens. But I mean, it's hard because like, what are you going to do? Once again, we said it before, the NBA is just doing it right. And the NBA is the only sport that can do it like this. Cause you can take a basketball court and put it in a giant ballroom in Disney World. Right. Like you can't do that with any other sport.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's unfortunate. Like you said, they just got the season going finally. And honestly, I don't see a way how this continues unless the whole country starts getting COVID under control, which I doubt that'll happen too. Like it's just we're gonna keep getting COVID cases, so we keep canceling games, we keep having double headers. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, and the worst part is like the MLB hasn't really handled it the best either. Like I think it was yesterday or something, Trevor Bauer tweeted out, pitcher for the Reds, that the game was canceled or postponed or whatever it was, like right before the game was supposed to start, like right before the scheduled start time. Okay, if you don't know how a baseball game starts or if you've never played baseball or whatever, starting pitchers warm up like 30 minutes or more before a game starts. So they're you know, they're throwing easy and then they're starting to throw where they're like maxing out their speed or at least throwing like good reps, like fastballs, breaking balls, everything. They're throwing solid reps so that their shoulders warm for the game. Okay, the way they rest pitchers is if they warm up, even if they don't pitch the game, starters, they still have to sit them for 2 days after warming up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a guy like Trevor Bauer who is warming up for a game. Suddenly it's postponed. Guy can't pitch for 2 days now. He didn't even get a chance to play.
Right.
But he has to sit now.
Yeah.
And he even made the comment. He's like, I never saw anything ran more poorly in minor leagues, in college, like none of it. Like it was such a weird way.
So did they know that they were getting tested and there was a scare or something?
Like, I guess I didn't see.
I don't know. Maybe we don't have that information yet, but that's what I'm saying. Like, did they to like, or is it totally the MLB's? And maybe, like I said, maybe we don't know, but is it totally the MLB's fault where they kind of saw it maybe happen, but they still didn't do anything?
Yeah. And that's the thing. We don't have enough information on that, but that could be it, is that maybe they just need to time the test better. I don't know. But point is they're not handling it well. I don't see the MLB season playing out all the way. I just don't. Yeah.
Which in my view is also kind of, is it foreshadowing for the NFL season? Like you were saying, it's hard for these leagues to do it like the NBA. So is the NFL going to have similar situations? I mean, obviously you hope that it's run a lot better, run more smoothly, run more effectively, but I just don't know. It's kind of, a little cloud hanging over that season.
Yeah, I honestly do see it kind of being the foreshadow for the NFL season, especially because, like, they're coming out saying excuse me, they're coming out saying that they've got these, like, you know, new face masks that are gonna, like, prevent COVID. But, like, you've got guys tackling each other, like, mm-hmm. laying on top of each other. How much can you really prevent with, like, a little plastic shield and the mask? You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
how close they are, yeah.
Exactly. And when you don't have them in a bubble like the NBA does, like, how can you control that when you've got guys coming from other cities, traveling, tackling each other? Like,
that's the thing. It's like, you have to keep track of 32, for the NFL's sake, 32 teams. Are they all in a bubble in their hometown? And then they fly, you know, usually they fly private, but then they get in and then they're bubbled, quarantined into the new town. But they have to do that for, like, what, 8 times? Yeah. It's a lot to keep track of.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And the staff and the executives, like, whew, it's going to be tough. I do not envy whoever has to deal with that.
Yeah, and I mean, with all that too, I mean, then you've got, you're seeing how it's affecting, like, college sports too, where conferences are saying they're only going to play their own conferences, mm-hmm. and that they're going to delay to a certain time, which, I mean, I think is great. They're trying to keep people safe, but I just don't see it playing out either.
Yeah, which is, you know, it sucks for Hawaii, any Hawaii college, especially University of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, they're still having to travel long distances and then having people come in. Like, it's kind of weird there.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, especially if you've seen, like, the new season of Last Chance U, one of the guys from the college that they featured this season, he got an offer from Hawaii. For the most part, he didn't get a scholarship offer, but he, like, got invited to come play on the team and then, like, work towards the scholarship. And as soon as he did that, he went to Hawaii, then got stranded because of COVID. So he's, like, stuck in Hawaii, can't come home. Like, actually, he might be able to come home now. Like, when they were featuring it, I'm sure it was, like, right when it hit, no one could travel. But even still, I don't even know if he would come home because, like, why? He's there to play football, so he's going to try. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
But it is nuts. Yeah, it's nuts for any player that's like you said, that's playing for one of those universities that still come over to the mainland and play schools here all the time. Like, what do they do?
Yeah, it's tough. Especially, like, all the West. I mean, we've talked about it before, how the U.S. really spreads out when the more West you get. And, like, all those West teams, like, yeah, they're still traveling a lot. Like, they're still, they have to go long travel. So even conference play could be a really big travel still, which, man, it's iffy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But anyway, back to baseball. Even though the season may not really be happening, I have to give mad props to Joe Kelly, man.
Oh, Joe Kelly. Clap it up, fellas. Clap it up. Oh my God, my hero.
Here's the thing. I absolutely hate the Dodgers. I'm one of the, I don't even know how to say this, like, the biggest non-Dodger fans. I don't even know the right words for it.
What's the antithesis of a dick sucker? That's what you are.
Yeah, exactly. whatever that is. That's whatever me. That is. But man, Joe Kelly, absolute stud, absolute warrior.
Yes.
Because for those who don't know, he got into a little tiff with the Astros, who cheated them out of a 2017 World Championship. Now, we do have to say this. Who knows if the Dodgers still would have won? People say they definitely would have if the Astros hadn't been cheating. But either way, the Astros were cheating. The Astros were cheating during that World Series, and they won. And so the Dodgers
were a little pissed. They tarnished as they should be. The game of baseball.
Exactly. How dare you? So, Joe Kelly, he took a couple shots at Alex Bregman when he was up to bat. And, I mean, it wasn't a couple shots, really. It was just that he was down in the count, 3-0, and then he decided to just throw behind Alex Bregman's head because he said, hey, remember 2017? That's where that's coming from. And Alex Bregman, he handled it fine. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. He just went to first base like he should because he got walked. But then while he's at first base, then you got Joe Kelly thrown at him again. For the most part, I mean, he's picking him off, quote unquote, but it's definitely like, I'm going to throw towards your rib cage and hopefully my first baseman catches it. But if he doesn't, oh well.
Oops.
But then what happened is Carlos Correa comes up to bat and Joe Kelly strikes him out after taking another throw at him a little bit and then starts talking. Well, okay, I do have to say this. I'm starting to get sick of baseball headlines that say bench is clear. Because, yeah, the bench is cleared, but nothing happened. It was literally just that people talking at each other. There was no shoving. There was no fight. There was no nothing. Yeah, the benches might have cleared, but it was literally just like a meeting in the middle of the field.
They shook hands afterwards. Like, what?
Yeah,
are doing
pretty
here?
Much. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's almost like they sent them like an invitation to a house party. They're like, "Dearest Astros, please join us at home plate for a little talk. We're going to have a chat.
A little tea time.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's basically what happened. But at the same time, it's because, like, Joe Kelly's walking away giving Alex Correa little kissy faces and frowny
baby faces.
Oh, so fantastic. Good. Joe Kelly, wherever you are, I hope you hear this. And yes. I just need you to know that you're my new hero.
Yes. Yeah, like, I thought it was great. The Astros, I'm a Nationals fan, and so we beat them, which was great. But when that news came out, I feel like people forgot during quarantine. The news came out a little bit before, you know, and the worst part was nothing really was done.
Oh, nothing, yeah, no, they got a literal slap on the wrist.
Yeah, and so, like, what everybody's been talking about is how Joe Kelly, for this incident, got suspended for 8 games when no Astros players got suspended. What, one exec, a few execs got fired, I think? Like,
yeah, the manager got suspended. So okay, so what happened was the wrath of the MLB came down, the absolute wrath, and suspended their GM and their manager for a year. That was it. And then took away a couple of draft picks. Okay, great. Wow. Well, then because they got suspended for a year, then the owner fired them. So then the team's owner took action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it wasn't even the, you know, the MLB, and I have to quote my Pat McAfee here, the stooge, Rob Manfred. he I didn't think this was possible. He makes Roger Goodell look good, doesn't he?
To an extent, yes. I mean, we can go back and forth on, I don't want to get too political, but we can go back and forth on what a clown Roger Goodell looks like with
he's definitely a clown for
the
sure.
The recent Black Lives Matter kind of, like, you know, people speaking out about Black Lives Matter, and the NFL was basically trying to, like, make amends with what they did to Colin Kaepernick, and I think that it just made them almost look worse, in my opinion. I'm happy that they did it, happy that they're trying, but it's a little late, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
anyway,
and,
don't want to get into that too
it's
much.
It's like,
but
Rob Manfred is just looking terrible, and he just doesn't know how to handle it. Anything that MLB comes up with, if it seems like. But
I mean, Roger Goodell's got to be in his home being like, oh, people actually aren't talking about me. This is fantastic.
Exactly. But yeah, and so Joe Kelly took it into his own hands, you know, the whole unwritten rules of baseball, took it in his own hands to punish him. And listen, obviously I don't want any Astros players to get hurt, but it's kind of fun watching them squirm a little bit, not gonna lie.
No, for sure. And I mean, as soon as I saw that suspension for Joe handed down, first thing that came to my mind, totally worth it. Yeah. I mean, it is, like, again, I'll take an 8-game suspension. I mean, an 8-game suspension in this shortened season is a little bit more impactful than, like, in the 160 whatever game season.
Right.
But even still, an 8-game suspension for doing that, I'm like, that's worth it. I'll take that. I'll take that right
now,
on the chin.
Now, as a pitcher, is it just 8 straight games for him?
Yeah, it's just 8 games. It's not 8 games that he would have played in. It's just 8 games.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay.
But I mean, but that also means he can't even be, like, in the dugout for those 8 games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he can't even be in the dugout for those 8 games. He's literally suspended from being a presence in the dugout.
In the clubhouse,
so.
Or anything, like...
Yeah, I think so. So, okay. I mean, it makes sense. Like, it is a little bit of an impact in that sense. But at the same time, if I was a Dodger and I'm thinking about my boy sitting at home because he decided to take some action in his own hands, I'm going to play even harder.
Yeah. Have him in the back of your head. Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, just want to say, Joe Kelly, you saw the Instagram post. It was his Instagram, right? The one he had?
Oh, maybe. I don't know who put that together.
Something, yeah. It was him holding babies, but then it was the Astros players photoshopped.
Yeah, it was him with his own kids, and then people photoshopped Carlos Correa and Alex.
Oh, it was so
right
good.
Over. So fantastic. Yeah. Which, I mean, start calling him Daddy.
Daddy Kelly, right?
Daddy Kelly.
All right. Joe, if you're listening, which you're not, but if you are, we love you.
But nobody nobody's listening.
Let's move on to NHL. So, full disclaimer, we're not super NHL fans. I watch my favorite team. I try to watch them, the Capitals. But other than that, I really don't watch until playoff time. Connor, he's not a super fan either, but
yeah. I love watching hockey, but I never keep up with it.
Right. But I think tides are changing, aren't they?
Oh, heck yeah, man. I'm so excited.
I think we're becoming Kraken fanboys, aren't we?
Oh yeah, you heard it here first. Seattle Krakens.
Yeah.
Going to the Stanley Cup Finals, year one. Hands down.
Year one, just because of their jersey, just because of the logo, just because of that hype video they had.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I really love their logo. I like it a lot. I love their color scheme. Yeah, we're fanboys now. This might turn into, I mean, the announcement for the Kraken came out a little bit after we decided what the name of this podcast was going to be. It's kind of sad it did, honestly, because if it didn't, we might have been the Kraken podcast. Not gonna lie,
all Kraken news all the time.
Yeah, just every Kraken news. But it's crazy that Seattle got a hockey team before a basketball team. Don't you think that's a little
getting
crazy?
A basketball team back? they need a basketball right, team back.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've heard rumors that they won't get a basketball team until they get a new stadium just because the Sonic Stadium is so old now. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I do think it's a little crazy, but at the same time, I mean, you're up in the far north, Pacific Northwest, and I feel like hockey's a big deal up there probably. You're that close to Canada. I mean,
maybe.
Yeah. I don't think it's that bad of a move, to be honest. I do think it's odd.
I love the move. I just, you know, yeah. Everybody's calling for basketball up there.
Yeah, like, again, I do think it's odd that they have a hockey team and not a basketball team now with everything else they have up there. You know, they've got they've got the baseball team, they've got the football team, and they have an MLS team, right?
Yeah, MLS and a WNBA.
Yeah.
Seattle Storm, they're good.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got every other sport, but now they just don't have an NBA team, yeah. Which is really weird.
But didn't – I heard – this is a while ago. I maybe I'm wrong, but didn't Jeff Bezos buy the rights to the Supersonics or something?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean
–
he has money to spare. That's for sure.
Yeah, he could throw money at it. yeah, we just wanted to mention, you know, if we suddenly become the Kraken podcast, don't be surprised.
Hey, I mean, if they did actually go, they don't even have to win the Stanley Cup. As long as they go to the finals, and I called it here first, I think we're the Kraken podcast.
I think we have to change after that.
Legally, we have to.
Yeah, we have to. All right. One last thing. Let's get into it. So we definitely want to, we're going to talk about mainly sports on this podcast, I feel like, but we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves. So we kind of want to talk about whatever we do want to talk about. So, I want to ask Connor, what is the best movie you've seen during quarantine?
Man, it's such a hard question.
There's been some good stuff. Could have been a rewatch, just anything you've seen during quarantine, man.
I mean, if we're going rewatch, Jojo Rabbit is always a solid movie. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but
I have seen it. It was good.
It's so fantastic. I mean, all you even have to know about that movie is that you've got Taika Waititi playing
Hitler
as a little boy's imaginary friend. Yeah. That's all you need to know. And anything past that is just an absolute treat. And that entire movie is just so good.
It's so funny. So weird and quirky. And man, I love it. Yeah, it's a good one. Say his name again. I can't pronounce his name.
Taika Waititi.
Yes, he is such a good director, such a good actor. I mean, for people who don't know, he directed Thor Ragnarok. Great movie.
And voiced the rock dude, Korg. That's what most people know him as, is the rock dude.
And then he directed and starred in a movie called What We Do in the Shadows, which is a mockumentary about vampires in New Zealand, which is fabulous.
Oh, he did that. And then they also just FX turned that into a series.
American series. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it actually holds up pretty well because I think he's in on that too. I think he has a hand in it.
I can't remember if he is, but yeah, it's a good one. So I love his work. He's really funny. He's a good one. Yeah, that's a solid pick. Any others to mention?
I mean, this happened kind of like right before. This was actually this was the last movie that I saw in theaters was the Pixar movie Onward that came out. And it's got Chris Pratt, Tom Holland. They're the two main voice actors.
Right?
Yep, they're the brothers. They're the two main voice actors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, actually better than expected. Honestly, it was a good movie. It was solid.
Solid. Right on.
What about you?
So I'm 100% so late to the game, but in quarantine for the first time I watched Uncut Gems.
Wow.
And holy shit, that movie roller coaster. Is so good.
It's a roller coaster.
Have you seen it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I love Adam Sandler in that serious role, but he does it so well. That character he plays is so good. He's so like just cheeky and you know, fuck everybody except for me. Like, I just love it. It's got a great story. Yeah. And I read up on it and it's like, it's kind of based off what some people might kind of said happened to them. Maybe they claim it might have happened, but yeah.
Okay. Well, then all you have to do is say 100%. Based on true events. and then that's exactly what you just described.
But yeah, that's definitely what I enjoy a lot. But
yeah,
we just wanted to.
That was a wild story, though.
It's crazy. It a lot of gaping mouth at the screen. But yeah, that's pretty normal for me.
that was one of the few Adam Sandler movies too, where I didn't see Adam Sandler like playing a character. I saw his character,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good. I agree. Anything else to add, Connor? Welcome the fans, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just go Krakens.
Just go Krakens. If you leave here with anything, just go Krakens. And thanks everybody for tuning in to the Two Tight Ends podcast. We'll see you next week.